Tracy Levine.
Yes.
You're an LMT.
That's correct.
Licensed massage therapist at the Folded Leaf.
That's right.
In Charleston.
Yes.
It's a great place.
It's a beautiful place.
It has a wonderful kind of feel to the place. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
And what kind of feel is that?
It's just a peaceful feeling. You know that you are in a safe place with like-minded individuals who just hope the best for everyone who walks in, and peace and happiness, even if it's just a one-hour escape from everyday life and tumbling things over in your head all the time. Just a nice, quiet place to be to focus inwardly or outwardly towards someone who needs your energy.
What is the skill set needed to be a licensed massage therapist?
In school, you go through anatomy, physiology, kinesiology, obviously hands-on skill sets with, they basically teach you deep tissue massage and some trigger point therapy and relaxation. After all your book work, the real education comes when you are out practicing, working on people on your own. A lot of things come together. And if you find a good massage therapist with a lot of experience and you can trade with them on a regular basis, you really learn a lot from them.
Sort of like an apprenticeship then?
Right. And okay. You're not required to do that, but it's a good idea to do so because those are the best people to learn from.
Without a doubt.
Right. And when I graduated, I could talk facts all day long, but until I got people under my hands for probably maybe 6 months to a year, I still had tons of those aha moments. And I still do to an extent, but that's when I really learned a lot, probably my first year out.
People go to a massage therapist for a variety of reasons.
It's a big range. Some people come in and they are just experiencing a lot of stress. They have a lot going on in their lives and they will tell me they just want to be here for relaxation. And then in that case, I do my best to get somebody there, and a lot of times people will fall asleep and feel refreshed after they get off the table. Sometimes I get a lot of runners and a lot of tennis players. I guess tennis is big in Charleston, and they'll come in with specific problems, which I'll do more focused and deep work on them, which is not to say that's not a relaxing escape as well. Have a more goal-oriented massage with them, and we'll work one area, maybe their scapula or their hips or their lower back, with a focused thought in my mind that we're going to release some areas of their muscles so they can have freedom from pain or a better range of motion when we're finished, and also to carry them through, kind of do like a maintenance thing. Some people will come in once or twice a month and we'll work on the same thing after they feel better, and it just kind of keeps up without letting those old posture habits or old injuries reset their muscle back to the place it was when they came to see me for the first time.
What's happening to the body, the muscles, during this process?
Well, one thing that happens is people always ask me, can you feel that? You know, when you work on me, you're like, how do you know that? And I always say, I can feel it just the way you can. Sometimes I can actually see it under their skin and, you know, I'll hear it. And they hear it too. You know, when I rub my hand over a knotted up space in their muscle, I call them Rice Krispies. Like sometimes I'll just make this crunching sound. And
so they're actual knots. So how do those knots get in there?
Sometimes they begin a lot of times from what we call micro tears, which are just like little tiny. You don't even know what's happening. It will cause a inflammation to start in the fiber of the muscle. And once that's inflamed, it makes it more difficult for the blood flow into the muscle to exchange oxygens and nutrients and let, you know, the waste product from normal muscle activity to drain into the lymph for the blood system to be worked through the body. So it hangs on to that and it will sort of perpetuate itself. It's like a catch-22. So what massage does is the compression and release of working on that muscle in that little spot and stretching it maybe against the grain of the muscle, kind of like we call it cross-fiber friction, will allow to pump blood and nutrients and do the oxygen exchange, just kind of open that area up. That's why sometimes a client will feel like some heat going into that area of the muscle, and I can feel the same thing. And the most beautiful thing doing massage when you're specifically working on a knot is feeling the release when it happens, because I can feel it under my hands and the client can feel it. And it's just like this moment where you feel like the tissue finally relax and kind of start going back to the area that it's supposed mm-hmm. to, where it's happy. And sometimes that just, it happens. And sometimes you can work in a knot and not feel that you got very far with it.
Tension right. spots, muscle memory.
True. And then also people that drive a lot, you know, they can look at their mirror and be like, wow, my posture, I'm going to put my shoulders back and down and get them out of my ears and all that. When right. they're conscious of it, it's better. And then they can feel like why their body has so much tension. But as soon as you quit paying attention to that, and I do the same thing, I'm guilty of it myself, you know, the chest collapses and the shoulders roll forward and you do a turtleneck with your head. And that is the muscle memory. So what you try to do is think opposite of that and open up your chest and roll your shoulders back and down. And having massage will release some of those tight areas, so it's easier for you to maintain a better posture position for a while before you fall back into your bad habit again.
There was someone who said that we store not only tension in our bodies, but injury, trauma, both physical and emotional. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, absolutely. And I call it emotional release. And I've experienced it on the table myself, and I've had some clients, I've experienced it with them, where kind of on the far-reaching end of the scale, I'll have clients that will cry during a massage, and I always let them know that, you know, this is your safe place and that's fine. I'm not going to interfere with your thought process, but I want you to know it's okay. Mm-hmm. And let me know if you need like a tissue or a glass of water or a break. And, you know, they may not even be thinking about that emotional or physical traumatic experience that they've had. But just being on the table, working through muscles that they haven't had worked on before will release these memories and thoughts that come out of nowhere for them a lot of times. And some people may carry in abuse issues or whatever that they are fully conscious of and then be completely surprised by the way that they react from having a massage. You know, it's a cleansing process. It really is. And if you can let go of being self-conscious of what's happening to you, when you feel that you're in a safe place and you're with a person who understands maybe not what you're going through, but the reaction that you're experiencing, it really can be a very freeing and emotional relieving space and time for that person. You know, they can think about that moment where they were processing some of this old stuff and can be a good thing for them.
I wasn't expecting how powerful it was physically mm-hmm. or emotionally. I kind of wondered whether I was sort of off the scale a little bit or if that was a sort of a strange reaction, but it's not at all, is it?
It's not at all. And I mean, I don't get that from every single client. People have their shells and they have their layers, and I understand that completely. But inside, it kind of makes me feel accomplished, maybe, for the lack of a better word, and happy when someone experiences that because it gives them new things to think about. And I also notice with some of my regulars, they're real guarded. And everybody is when they first come in.
Sure.
Most people, I don't want to say everybody, but most people. And over a period of maybe 6 months or a year, if I see them once a month even, I can feel the difference. And
that's good to know.
Yeah. Feel them relaxing more. Yeah. Feel, you know, oh, you know, your scapulas are not pasted to the back of your body anymore. And you know, they get that release too.
One element about massage therapy is certainly trust.
And I don't want to use the word more trusting. They just become more relaxed and know what to expect. And I think the sessions just get better and better with them. What I really, really like doing is letting people fall inside themselves emotionally. And when I can feel someone is so completely relaxed on the table that they give me the freedom to pick up their head and move and rotate their neck, I mean, that is an ultimate trust coming from somebody to lay there and let me manipulate and get into their deep muscles on their neck and work on their face and their temples and the scalp, because those are kind of like an intimate place to somebody. You can't ever walk up in public and be like, you know, let me rub your face and I'm going to rub your hair and your neck and you're going to love it. And so that really makes me feel good that people that give me that trust.
If I use the words or the phrase mind-body connection, would that resonate with you?
Absolutely.
What would be your personal experience or definition of mind-body connection, and why do we need it?
When you feel aware of things going on in your body that either need attention or feel good or have shifted, and a lot of times it can be a good thing. A lot of times it can be kind of like a signal. You know, people talk about their little voice when you just get that gut instinct. You know, you're usually sorry when you don't listen to it, but it's just having your head in the game of what's going on with your body enough to sense those things. And, you know, people before life became so complex used to be able to do those kind of things. And it's really important as far as, you know, letting your mind scan your body as far as health issues and things that make you feel good and things that make you don't. And you have to learn to trust those inner instincts. But when your head's just full of crazy, like a lot of people are today, it's hard to listen to that. And I think we miss a lot of things that are very important.
Commonly, at the end of a yoga class or a meditation, often there is the joining of the two hands over the heart, which is called the Anjali Mudra. And often the word Namaste is offered. Tracy explains the meaning of this gesture.
Mudra, the word mudra is just a position for your hands, and there's, you know, you end your practice and have your moment, and then you just kind of like do your nod to your yoga instructor who guided you through your practice, the namaste, which basically means, and people are going to be like, oh, so crunchy granola, but I love it. It means the energy in me recognizes the light and energy in you. And just a little namaste prayer hands.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.